The so-called lazy days of summer are just about to wrap up in Rochester. And let's face it, you know it's back to school time when songs like My School Bus Is My Limo are blasting from car radios and you just can't seem to get them out of your head. Now picture this. As tens of thousands of kids storm through the doors of Rochester area schools this fall, most will be sitting in classrooms with kids who look just like them. That's because researchers say public schools in the U.S. are more segregated today than they were 50 years ago.
I think that the more you mix anyone, the more you're going to learn from one another, because it's just the human nature. Every human is curious about something else.
Quenisha Anderson is a 2001 graduate of Penfield High School, and she may be one of the school's biggest cheerleaders.
I've often said to people I would give back to my high school before I gave back to my college.
Why do you say that?
I don't know, it just feels like I can make a difference here, and I feel like this shaped me, like the person I am. I feel like this experience, Cobbles, Bay Trail, Penfield High School, shaped me far more than college did.
Her mom, who also graduated from Penfield, enrolled Anderson in Cobbles Elementary School when she was in the third grade. And while she plans to send her own kids to Penfield when she decides to start a family, Anderson says life at school wasn't always peaches and cream.
Well, I had some really good experiences, but it's the really bad ones when someone spit in your face or the first time you're called nigger or, you know, all those types of things that happen in elementary school. The first time I was called nigger or jigaboo was in elementary school. And I didn't even know what it was.
Anderson says she was one of a dozen African-American students in her school. She was part of a program called the Urban-Suburban Interdistrict Transfer Program. It was developed in the 1960s to give city kids the option to attend school in the suburbs. Its mission? To end what some say is still taking place in schools today. Racial isolation and segregation of academic opportunities.
West of Grandecourt was the toughest. You had an engineer from Kodak who wrote really almost vitriolic letters to the editor of the newspaper opposing any urban-suburban program.
Region Emeritus of New York, Dr. Walter Cooper, was on the founding committee of urban-suburban. He said at first it was a tough sell to get suburban districts to buy into the program.
The rationale was the expense to the district, the space in the district, and so forth. But you see, transportation costs came from the state. And so that wasn't the issue, but that issue covered up the racial issue. It was always race for people who opposed it.
Cooper says eventually districts bought into the program, and it officially launched in 1965 in West Irondequoit and soon expanded to Brighton, Penfield, and Pittsford, among other districts. Both Quenisha Anderson and Dr. Cooper say you can judge the program's success by the resumes of the students who went through it.
All of my peers that have graduated through Urban Suburban have masters and doctors and running businesses and doing amazing things.
So why is the program on the decline? Back in the late 80s, Dr. Cooper said more than 1,000 city kids were enrolled in Urban Suburban. As of last year, it was half that number. The enrollment process seems easy enough. There's no limit to the number of kids who can participate, though suburban districts do have to decide if they have room. Interested students fill out an application and then go through an interview process. And according to the Rochester City School District, Urban Suburban is funded by state aid. Anderson says it comes down to a lack of advocacy.
Most parents don't even know the program exists. Every parent knows about charter school. Every single parent in the city school district knows about charter school. That's not the case with Urban Suburban.
We basically given up on integration by race, class, all of those things.
Richard Collenberg is a senior fellow with the Century Foundation in Washington, D.C. It's a nonprofit public policy research institute. He says efforts in the 70s and 80s to integrate public schools have diminished, and that federal education law, in part, is to blame. The very law meant to close the achievement gap for minority and low-income kids.
One of the unfortunate side effects of the No Child Left Behind Act is that it provides an incentive for more affluent suburban districts to exclude low-income and working-class students of color.
Collenberg says under No Child Left Behind, schools are judged based on test scores. On average, minority and low-income students lag behind whites when it comes to testing. And that leads to a bigger issue, double segregation.
In this country, we're putting low-income and minority students at a double disadvantage. They're coming to school on average behind because we don't have the social supports, the social safety net that many other countries do. And then we tend to segregate low-income and working-class students and educate them separately from middle-class students.
Collenberg says it's programs like Urban Suburban that can help tackle the double issue of racial and economic segregation. Back in Rochester, Quenisha Anderson says she has a new mission to become an advocate for Urban Suburban in an effort to get more city parents to sign their kids up for the program.
Making the awareness level of parents in the city higher also, but at the same time, increasing the awareness level of these districts about how much a catalyst for change as well as improvement within their districts and outside of their districts the Urban Suburban program can be. If you have something that's been around for almost 50 years and is, you know, spread around the country, you know that there's something there.
For WXXI News, I'm Helen Bianduti-Hofer.